We're live.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's get into it, Nathan. May the 4th be with you, Nathan.
Thank you, Daniel. It'll also
be
with you.
It'll be Revenge of the 6th by the time this comes out.
You're one of those people.
But we're recording on the 4th. Not really, no. Dude,
Mark Hamill is, though. Do you ever look at his Twitter account? He starts with May the 1st.
Does he really?
Yeah, it's crazy. And then he like...
What happens on the 1st?
I can't even remember. I just saw it and I was like, oh shit, he's doing this again. And he goes to like the 20th or something when people are just like, please stop.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill is easily the best Twitter account on like Twitter.
Yeah. And I actually believe that it's him. I don't think it's like any like social media manager or anything like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can kind of tell.
Dude, So what podcast is this, Daniel?
Oh, this is the Trade Writers Podcast. It's a comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. We are not doing a Star Wars episode.
Could have been smart.
Yeah. If we were people that plan things, we could have done something like that. I feel like we plan things out really well.
We will do Star Wars pretty soon, like this month. So.
Yeah, I can't do 2 Star Wars books in a month.
Yeah, come on. There's other comics.
Can't oversaturate our podcast with Star Wars.
We're falling behind on comics, so we can only do Star Wars every once in a while.
Right. Yeah, it's more important to do the Obi-Wan. Speaking of Obi-Wan, Nathan, we do the news first. and we have different time segments. Got those in the... We got different segments with time codes.
Time codes in the description. Check them out. First one's the news. The next one's the book. And then the back matter and the pull list, where we talk about all the other things we consumed.
That's right.
Quite an exciting episode this week, I must say so myself. Let's get into the news, Daniel.
I think it's pretty average episode.
Yeah, but you got to get people...
It hasn't even happened yet.
You got to get people roped in, you know? You got to keep them interested.
Hey, listen to Nathan. Nathan, speaking of Obi-Wan, we got another trailer today. Did you check it out?
I did.
I didn't think you're going to watch it because normally you're pretty anti-trailer.
It just like came... Well, like the first thing that we saw was like a teaser, right?
It felt like a trailer.
I feel like a full trailer.
I feel like we didn't really see much new in this. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, but that's true.
Looks pretty fucking cool.
It does. Yeah.
Pretty stoked on it. I can't remember what was in it.
He's getting old. He's getting, you know, a little wrinkly.
Yeah, man.
He really kind of looks like he's growing into... What's his face? Ian McKellen?
Ewan McGregor?
No, Ewan McGregor is the guy that plays him now. Who's the original Obi-Wan? What's his name? Alec Guinness. That's what I'm talking about. He's starting to like look like Alec Guinness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. But like, yeah, he's stalking on some kids. Who doesn't like that?
Oh, yeah.
Got his little binoculars.
just peeking on some minors.
Yeah. It's pretty sick.
It looks like a proper amount of time has passed based on like how he looks, you know?
It really does. Like, it almost like...
This shit was like
one for one, I feel like.
This shit was like 15 years ago, I think.
The original trilogy?
The end of the original trilogy, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Because I was in like 6th grade when Revenge of the Sith came out.
Yeah. That was in...
So I was 12, so 14 years ago?
The release date was 2005, so it's been over 15 years. It's been 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
So that kind of lines up, I feel like, with where Obi-Wan maybe is. Because how long...
But Luke's not 15 years old in this thing. He's
He's like 9.
9 or 10. Pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah. Good enough.
We're not going to nitpick here.
I am. Every episode, I'm going to be one of those Star Wars fans. You're like, this thing sucks. These bikes that are water-powered, what the fuck is this shit? I don't like that.
Waste of water.
Dude, I saw a really great video essay about somebody explaining why Boba Fett is good, and I like the show a lot more now.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't like dislike it before, but I was like, yeah, it was pretty fun. But the way that he went into it is pretty cool. From Ben from Canada.
Sometimes you need those videos.
Yeah.
I need them with a lot of those artsy movies that people say are good, but you don't know why. So you gotta have a watch a video.
Daniel, what other news do we have today?
Nathan.
I'll tell you.
Director John Watts exits Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I saw that.
Some interesting news. I'm upset because that seems like a really good pair, but...
He's the guy that did Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, all the Spider-Man. The last 3 Spider-Man, at least.
At least he's... out now and not in the middle of production.
Yeah.
Then we'll have another Zack Snyder situation.
Right.
And we don't like that.
Just put fucking Josh Whedon in there.
Yeah. So hopefully they get somebody in there soon, I guess. I don't know. It's not going to be out for like another 4 years.
They're
or
just going to, yeah, it'll be delayed. No big deal. They're not scared of that.
Yeah. Daniel, Frank Miller creates Frank Miller Press Presents, which is a publishing company for, it'll serve as a fertile ground for storytellers and new creations. And Frank Miller launches this independent publishing company with new Sin City and Ronin comics in the works.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
New Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really been itching for New Sin City because I don't even haven't even read Old Sin City.
I haven't read either Ronin or Old Sin City.
I read the first one. Wait, what's Ronin?
Ronin is like his that's like a samurai story.
Is that like 47 Ronin, like the Keanu Reeves movie?
No.
Something else?
I think it's just a different Ronin.
I think this might be the same.
Might
thing.
Be Usagi Yojimbo, who knows?
Oh yeah, who knows? It could be the Ninja Turtles.
It could be.
The last Ronin.
Exactly.
Anyway. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need more creator-owned publishers, but I think with Frank Miller's name and him picking stuff out, that'll definitely bring a lot of attention to stuff, which
he's definitely a big-name comics guy to be able to pull this off, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like if Alan Moore were to do this. Even though that guy hates comics and everything now, you know, he's like that level of big name, feel like.
That guy would, like, he would sign the weirdest shit.
Yeah, he probably would.
You remember... Because he was still making comics when I started reading comics. You remember the last thing that he did? It was something called Jerusalem.
No.
What does he have to say about Jesus? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Probably a lot of things.
It just seemed like...
He seems like the guy to say things about Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be like nearly as fun as like a Venom or something. It'd be like super dense stuff like he does, you know?
Exactly.
But anyway,
Daniel Blake Lively to make film directorial debut with an adaptation of the Brian Lee O'Malley graphic novel called Seconds.
I thought you were about to say Snot Girl. I'm like, no way.
Oh, that'd be cool too.
Seconds.
Seconds. Yeah, it's a Brian Lee O'Malley book, I guess. So.
It looks like a Brian Lee O'Malley book. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Any ETA on that?
No idea. Didn't read it past the headline, as I do.
Speaking of, we got to get to that. We got to get to Scott Pilgrim and those other suggestions.
Yeah.
What was his name? Sam?
Yeah, Sam.
Sam gave us.
Sam gave us. And then I forget what it was called. But yeah, I do want to read Brian Lee O'Malley because he's like in his own corner of comics, I feel like. And
I feel like he can just come out with something and they're like, oh, wow, new thing from him, you know? Yeah.
And I'm excited for it, even though I've barely read any of his
stuff.
I don't
even know the publisher that he uses or anything.
I don't know.
Anyway, Nathan.
Yes.
Sad, sad news.
Very sad, sad news this week.
Legends of Tomorrow got canceled.
Yep, could have made it to season 9 or whatever, but they didn't.
Eight. Even sadder news, Nathan.
Even more sadder news.
Batwoman gets canceled.
Very sad.
After 2 seasons.
That's so sad.
Dude, I wrote Batwoman.
Almost the saddest news.
I wrote Batwoman in my notes, and it has the red line under it. Like, it's like, this is incorrect. Did you mean Batman?
Oh, no.
I'm like, Microsoft... OneNote is sexist.
So sad. Fucking Bill Gates. You don't know that there's a
Batwoman?
Batwoman out there?
Haven't you heard?
Are you saying bats can't be women, Bill Gates?
There's no lady bats?
Yeah. Daniel, the saddest news.
The saddest of the week.
Legendary comic artist Neil Adams, who revitalized Batman, Joker, and others like Green Arrow, Green Lantern, with his art and stories, has died at the age of 80. He was also a champion for artists' rights and fought for compensation for Superman's creators, which I didn't know. So he was part of that whole thing with the Superman creators. What are they called?
The Supermen.
No. The creators of Superman.
Jerry Siegel. Joe Schuster.
Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster. Is that right?
Probably. I keep thinking of Jason Siegel.
I'm like, Jason Siegel, yeah.
Jason Siegel, he made Superman.
Are they related?
No.
Jerry Siegel?
No shot.
Jerry Siegel and Joe Schuster. You see their names at anything that contains Superman or is a Superman title? Neil Adams is part of the reason for that. He's a big candidate for like...
Or Super Anything, I'm pretty sure.
I think Super Anything, yeah.
They probably come up when they talk about Supergirl. I don't know.
Maybe. I'll have to look. But yeah, he's a very, very big loss. 80's too young, but I know him best from his work on Green Lantern. Specifically the Green Lantern Green Arrow series is that has many iconic covers, mm-hmm. some of which I've posted on our Twitter because I love them so much. But that's a big bummer. Even this one with Speedy being a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that raw comics?
Yeah, the first junkie in comics probably. Yeah,
which is really cool. Like he definitely, you know, Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams really went ballsy with comics, I feel like, to do something like that. So huge loss. Too young.
Absolutely.
Bad news. Daniel, good news.
Good segue.
Christopher Sabella, he's a good writer. He's launching a new book called Blink that looks really cool. Here's the cover. Looks very trippy, really, really crazy.
It looks like a Christian Ward cover.
But the idea is that it's a horror book, and it's a love. It's going to be a found footage horror book.
Wow.
Which sounds like a pretty cool idea for like a comic book, you know?
Sounds hard.
And it's a love letter to a lot of monstrous things I love, brought stunningly to life by Hayden and Nick and Frank. I don't know their last names, but that's all that's in the tweet. But it looks cool, and I'm excited for it. It's by Oni Press.
Oni Press, nice.
I don't know who did the cover.
Who's doing the art?
Sherman. Okay, wait, hold on. So then I do know. Hayden Sherman and Nick Filardi is...
Nice.
That's going to be the artists and colorists, respectively. But it's from Oni Press, and they print good stuff.
Yeah, like Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And
Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers.
They're two big series.
I feel like they did something like really important.
They did Letter 44.
That's right.
They did some Lumiere stuff, I believe, at Oni Press. But Letter 44, I think, is the big one that I know. And some Alan Moore stuff. They're a good publishing company.
Yeah, for sure.
What else you got, Daniel?
That's all the news I have, Nathan.
I think I had one more news.
I even tried looking for...
We talked about Kai Man, right? Yeah, we did.
Yeah, last week.
That's all the news I got, Daniel. Well, actually, it's not confirmed, but there's probably going to be a Moon Knight season 2. Because there's a thing that happened where Marvel Studios was like, this Wednesday, it's the season finale. And then the Moon Knight account was like, this is the series finale. And then that tweet got deleted, and it was like, this is the season finale. So there's probably going to be a season 2.
That's enough info for me, Nathan.
Yeah. We'll get into spoilers for the last episode of Moon Knight in the poll list. Shove it in your box, but I won't say anything now about it. Go to that time code. Look at the time code. I'll probably have a Moon Knight time code, in fact.
You know what? You wait.
Yeah, you wait through
you
this.
Sit.
We'll get there.
You sit your ass down.
Yeah, get your fingers away from your phone.
Put your hands down.
Or your computer. There's a lot of desktop listeners, I found out. But
really?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Just load it on your phone. Go to the gym or something.
I could be sitting at my desktop and still be listening on my phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I would do, ideally.
But whatever you want. Whatever.
If you're a desktop listener, fuck you. Email in if you're a desktop listener.
While you're on your desktop,
yeah.
Send us an email.
Open up your Gmail on your desktop.
Tell us what to read.
Tell us what to read, too.
Or your Yahoo account, whatever you prefer.
Daniel, what book did we read this week?
Nathan, we read the one and only Bone.
By?
Jeff Smith?
Yep, that's it. Sorry, I'm pretty sure.
I don't have it open. Hold on.
Yeah, it's Jeff Smith.
What a guy.
What a absolute legend, and what a absolute sweet book. It's colored by Steve Hammaker.
Hammaker.
He makes lots of hams.
There's one M. It's you.
Hammaker?
Ham or maker? You got to pick which word.
Hammaker. I think it's Hammaker.
An acre of ham?
Of course.
Or Hammaker.
But yeah, this is like probably technically the first comic book I've ever read.
This is absolutely the first.
Like what comics were. I thought it was just like a picture book or whatever.
But yeah, I'm like, this is the best book. Why isn't anyone else reading this?
Yeah, I know. I was like, this is incredible.
Those other ones suck.
I could see what's happening rather than having to visualize it with my brain.
Nathan, we were like reading this before we understood the concept of comic books.
I think I like learned how to read with this book.
Probably.
Largely. It's kind of crazy.
This is the shit that like published by like Scholastic or whatever.
Yeah.
And would be at the book fairs and shit. And it was dope.
I think it's had like a couple print runs, but Scholastic was definitely one of them. I think it was also in like Image and like some other like children's books publishers. But yeah, this largely like introduced me to comics, you know, even though this wasn't like the first like comic book I like bought. And I largely credit that to Mark Waid with his run on Brave and the Bold with Green Lantern and Flash. This is like definitely the first official like comic that I've read, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Nathan.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about this? Given this good old reread after like, I don't know, 15 years or something.
This book's a delight.
Oh, so much fun.
Yeah.
So much joy here.
We're reading this because Bone just got canceled by Netflix. Netflix canceled a bunch of their animated products.
Should be an animated series. Are you shitting me?
This would be the best. It'd be so easy, I feel like.
It writes itself.
It really,
it's already done.
It's already written. 100 volumes.
You got like 9 seasons right here.
Yeah, basically. But like the characters are so simple, but so elegant and like just so well designed. I don't know. Like for some reason, like just their big noses. I don't even know what they are. Why they're called Bone, who knows? Yeah, are they bones?
What are bones?
Why do they? I don't know.
They look like...
But they look fun. It gives me like a, I don't know, like a Mickey Mouse sort of animated like show kind of vibe, but like it's its own thing entirely.
It kind of reminds me of like Looney Tunes back in action or like a Space Jam where the cartoon characters are in like a much more detailed world.
Yeah. And I think this book is great because it has like the super simple characters, but there's also like people walking around sometimes. And then there's also like kind of scary monsters that are very well designed.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I think like there's a lot of energy that comes out of this book for sure.
I love how like clean they look, you know, like the inks are like to a point where they're just perfect. You know, there's not anything extra added to them. Just like you get the shape and that's it.
Yeah. Like the whole character is just like a couple lines, but they're so fun.
Mostly and, like a 6-panel layout with a lot of the pages, which is fun.
And honestly, the book holds up like very well.
Yeah. I
don't know when this was published, but probably pretty early.
91.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. This definitely holds up then.
Yeah. It's older than us, Nathan.
This is like a cartoon strip, but like a whole book. So it
yeah.
Like the feel and sort of like silliness and fun that you get from like a cartoon strip multiplied by like 1,000 to actually fit like a full trade. It's pretty cool.
What I kind of realized is like, the characterization in this is like excellent. Like everyone does exactly what you expect them to do.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's like so true to their character. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just written so well. And like, it's these three cousins and
they all have like their own like crazy personality, you know? Like,
yeah. And they stick to it.
Like Phone Bone's the normal one. He's like the main character. He does, you know, what you'd expect a main character to do. And then Phony Bone is the rich guy. And he's just all about being rich, about scamming people.
Yeah,
and like Smiley Bones, like the Patrick. He's kind of like a dumber cousin, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Smoke cigars.
Smoke cigars, which is pretty cool. I don't know. That's fine, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think kids will want to smoke cigars because they see Smiley Bone doing it and think he'll look cool because he's got a big goofy nose.
No, everyone likes Phone Bone, obviously.
Yeah, Phone Bone's the best. Spelled with F-O-N-E. I don't know why that's the case.
When I opened this, I'm like, oh, yeah, there's more. I forgot about him. I thought he was just like his own.
Oh, I remember Smiley.
Really? I don't know. I
forgot about Phony, but let's get into it, Daniel. Alrighty. Also, the lettering is incredible. There's a couple of different instances, but...
Yeah, I don't think like, it's all digital. I think some of it, like the bigger stuff, is like hand done.
Yeah, like a lot of the words change like sizes. It's not like all one consistent font. They all like... they bold for emphasis, but the words themselves like change sizes for even like bigger emphasis and bigger focus on the page. So it's really interesting how he does it.
Yeah, it works well.
We'll get into it, Daniel. So we got Phone Bone, we got Phony Bone, and we got Smiley Bone. Those are our boys.
This is book one called Out from Boneville.
Yes.
Don't forget that.
They got kicked out of Boneville, in fact, because Phony Bone's got some shady business practices.
He sure does.
So they're kicked out of their Boneville. And so they're out in the desert and they get kind of lost and then they get separated by a swarm of locusts. And then Phone Bone, our main character, who I'm just going to call Bone from here out because that's how I know him.
Yeah.
He falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
And I like this moment where he falls like hundreds of feet off the cliff because it's like all silent and like you just see him falling down a cliff over like three different panels. And he's like, I can't believe I wasn't killed. Like as if he like he wasn't fazed whatsoever. And he hits the ground and he gets up and he's like, oh my God, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And for some reason like that like made me laugh because there's three separate panels where he falls down. He hits a ledge, hits the ground and he's like, holy shit, that was crazy.
He's just like walks free off. Falling like, and not even yelling or anything.
Yeah. You'd think he'd know by now that like he would be fine by this, but he's like, oh my God.
I just imagine they're made of like marshmallow or something. Like they don't have bones or anything.
Yeah. I don't think like their bones like shatter.
Bones don't have bones.
It's funny whenever they're like falling, they fall a couple times in this book, but I like how much he zooms out because just see like a little like goofy little character just like in free fall. Saying nothing, no lettering or anything like that is really funny to me.
This book's hilarious. It really is. I was like laughing to myself while I was reading it.
I was like giddy, dude. I was like chuckling the whole time. it's a lot of fun.
The humor definitely holds up.
So Bone travels basically a bunch trying to find his friends. He tries to go up the mountain, but he goes up the wrong side of the mountain. Like he falls in like a cavern. What do you call that?
An abyss?
An abyss kind of deal. But when he climbs back up, he climbed up the wrong side, which I don't know how you do that. You'd think you'd climb up the side of where you...
Of which you fell.
Yeah, which you fell. But he did, and so he's like, fuck, I gotta go find my friends. So he travels all throughout the day, gets to the night, he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, some rat creatures come to seek the one with a star on his chest. Which I don't know, it ends up being Phony Bone. And he does have a star on his chest because that's like his shirt.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick up on that immediately. I don't think you were supposed to.
No, because they bring it up later, and I was like, who the fuck has a star in their chest?
Yeah. And then it's like,
what if he changes his shirt?
When you see Phony Bone, it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool then.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't think you were supposed to know, but yeah. So these rat creatures are looking specifically for Phony Bone, and they're like, fuck it, we'll just kill this bone guy. And then a red dragon protects Bone.
Yeah.
It's like this big red dragon. I like the design of this dragon because he's fucking buff. He looks like a pit bull that's like super buff.
And he's got fur on the tip of his ears.
Yeah, he's got little furry ear tips. I don't know what that's about, I like it.
Looks like those beanies with the little poof on it.
Yeah. There's an impressive like lens glare when Bone is like walking throughout the desert. And yeah, it's like a silhouette of Bone. And I'm like, why is there a lens glare? That's pretty cool. Like, wow. You think for like 90s. I think this might have been maybe redone or something. But like in the 90s, that shit would have been hard to do if that's when this was colored.
Yeah, they didn't have computers back then.
Huh? Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. Like, this shit holds up for sure. Also, I love the aesthetic of the rat creatures. Like, they look scary, but they're not like horrifying, you know? Like, as a kid, I was like, these guys are fucked up. But like, yeah, it wasn't enough to like scare me away from the book. They have like these big, like red circle eyes and stuff.
They have like horns. When they start like screaming and they show their teeth, then they look like pretty freaky. But
with the teeth. Pretty cool. So Bone like thinks he sees a dragon, but he's like, man, I got to get more sleep. And mm-hmm. so like, he just keeps going. And as he keeps going, he discovers a forest and then he meets a little bug named Ted. And Ted's my favorite character, Daniel.
He's a leaf bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Ted takes Bone, he also meets Ted's big brother, which is a huge leaf.
Oh, yeah.
And that part was pretty funny to me because, like, Ted literally is like the simple, like, little triangle sketch. And Bone's like, you look like a leaf. And then Ted's like, a leaf? That's an insult. Where's my big brother? And then big brother comes up and he's like this huge leaf bug.
Yeah.
And I like his first dialogue is you picking on Ted?
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty funny. But so Ted takes Bone to find Thorn, because Thorn knows everything and Thorn will be able to help Bone get back to Boneville. But they're interrupted by the rat creatures again trying to eat Bone, and then Bone gets stuck in the forest for winter. That's basically what happens that issue.
I love how they just explain that winter has come. It's just this like huge blanket of snow that just falls right on him.
Yeah.
And like, that's supposed to represent like months passing.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, it's winter.
It's like whoop and then snow.
Yeah, it's just like one moment and it's like boom, we're in winter now. Because like he's supposed to not be able to continue his journey when it becomes winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it becomes winter, he's like, fuck, I guess I'm stuck here.
It'll be harder because he's supposed to go over some mountains or something, and he won't be able to cross the mountains if it's snowy.
Yeah.
So, second issue.
I like how the rat creatures like fight on how they're going to consume Bone. Like one wants to make a stew, and then the other one's like, we always have stew. I want to make a nice quiche.
Yeah.
And then they like fight over that, and then Bone gets to escape that way.
Mm-hmm.
So like little jokes like that. I think he was really good at it. So during winter, Bone found Ms. Possum and her kids. So he's basically like babysitting these little possum kids. But the rat creatures find them like sort of outside of their shed that they're at. So Bone saves the kids and then he runs off and the rat creatures are chasing him. And he falls again. He falls down like a waterfall. And he ends up falling like right in front of the red dragon again, and the red dragon scares off the rat creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the scene where the rat monsters are like chasing Bone, and Bone's on like a little stick, and then he's like, they'd be too stupid to like follow me onto the stick, but they both jump onto the stick and they both fall. Yeah. And while they're falling, like
he's Bone, like stupid
it's like a really like zoomed out shot of the waterfall, and Bone is just like this little bean on like the panel. And I was like, that's really funny because it just shows like how big the waterfall is, but it's really funny to show it that way.
I like how
it's not like dramatic, it's for like comedic effect, which works very well.
So he's like talking to the dragon that saved him wherever. Mm-hmm. He's like, can you even breathe fire? And he just like blows fire on him and like burns him.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoony effect where he's all ashy or soot. Mm-hmm. He's got soot on him.
He's all sooty.
All sooty.
Yeah.
And like, and then these possums come back and they're like,
right after the dragon leaves.
Yeah. He's like, yo, there's a dragon just here. And they're like, dragons aren't really ridiculous. Like he's like, he's like burnt. Like, how the hell did he get to that point?
Yeah, they're like, ah,
and they're like, ah, you're ridiculous.
Yeah, and the mom's like, ah, I love Bone making all these stories for the kids.
Yeah, I know.
And it's just like Bone went on like this whole mini adventure, and she's like, ah, I love how good Bone is with kids.
Yeah.
And so later when he goes, he's like going to the pond to get some water or something, and Bone meets Thorn, the guy that Ted wanted him to meet, but ends up it's girl Daniel. Ooh. It's a very pretty girl. Takes off her pants to go into the pond for some reason.
Dude, I love my favorite part is right here. Like she like takes off like her pants, and then his hat like reignites,
catches fire again, and then he like falls over and it puts it out.
Yeah.
And so he meets this girl. He like immediately like falls in love with her.
It's pretty like it's a human. There's humans in this book.
Human girl. First time we've seen a human.
Human girls.
There's human girls here. But Ted kind of overhyped her knowing everything because she's like, I don't know where the fuck Boneville is.
Yeah, she doesn't she doesn't believe in dragons either.
Yeah, she doesn't believe in dragons. But Thorne's like, you know who might know? My grandma. And so they go off to go find her grandma, but they're holding hands or whatever.
Nathan, grandma's my favorite character.
Grandma's a pretty sick character. She's like an old girl Popeye is what I think of her as.
Yeah.
She gives me those vibes.
Definitely Popeye vibes.
But Daniel, Phonebone's a bit of a peeping Tom. He's watching this girl take off her pants to go in the pond.
I don't know why she's like getting into like a pond when there's clearly snow around. That shit's freezing.
Yeah, she's like trying to die. I don't know what she was going for there.
Yeah, I don't care how dirty you are.
Yeah.
That shit's freezing.
She got this like robe on her though.
Mm-hmm.
But like all the other human characters have like normal clothes. So I don't know what that's about.
Just a big hoodie, Nathan. Sleeping in and stuff.
Girls like big hoodies.
But yeah, she did notice the whole rat creature thing. So she was like wanting to find him for some reason.
So they end up going to grandma's house.
This is issue 3.
This is issue 3, yeah. So almost halfway done.
Nathan, Bone is sexist.
Why does he say that?
Because they're going to do chores and stuff. And she's like, I'm going to go chop some wood. She's like, and he's like, no.
I'm a man.
That's a man's job. The man's going to go do it. You go wash some dishes or something.
And then he goes to chop wood and he can't even get the axe off from like the stump that it's on.
And she's like, what are you doing? He's like, manly things. Like,
I'm doing chin-ups.
Like chin-ups.
Yeah. He's like hanging from the axe that's like clearly very low to the floor. Like
twice as big as him.
Yeah. So yeah, they're doing chores around grandma's house waiting for her to get back because she does cow races, which is a funny idea. And so, yeah, so Thorne and Bone kind of get to know each other a little bit more.
Dude, real quick.
Yeah.
So, like, they're talking about the dragon next to this well, right? And she's talking about, like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Dragons aren't real. And then the dragon's head just pops out of the well and talks to the Bone. And then, like...
And he's like, I'm just trying to get her to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
But, like, where is he going to go?
I'm like, just be like, just hey, call. He's right here. Look.
Hey, the craziest shit just happened. He's in the well.
Yeah, but he just, like...
He just, like, lets it go. I don't know.
It was funny.
I thought it was good. Yeah, that's like a cartoon thing you'd see. Like yeah, that's like a Bugs Bunny ass thing to do.
Yeah.
But so then we see Phony Bone walking around who meets the red dragon that's been protecting Bone. And then the red dragon kind of leads him. He also meets Ted, the little bug. Mm-hmm. And Ted leads him to Thorne's grandma, who's on her way back to the house where Bone is. But Phony Bone's like super rude and he's got this like rude personality. So he gets beat up by grandma who was
absolutely
part of the war.
She absolutely lifts.
Yeah.
She rolls up her sleeves.
She rolls up her sleeve and she's got this thick ass arm. And
she's
I'm like,
got
oh,
these
fuck.
Cannons. She's ready to destroy this dude.
And she looks so like cute and stuff. She's got like an apron on. She's like walking. Like why do you need an apron? But she's got this apron on and she's about to fucking throw fists right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so she basically beats up Phony Bone and brings him to the house to like I don't know why she brings him to the house, but he gets brought to the house. And so Phony Bone and Bone are like reunited.
There's a really good use of like shadows in page like 67. They're like opening up the door because they see like Phony Bone come in. And you kind of see like their back, but so you can't necessarily see what they're doing. But like the shadow in the background represents like what they're doing. Like they're pointing their fingers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was really cool. Like he could have just drew it at a different angle.
Yeah, true.
But he just...
There are some good shadows there, yeah, because the light's mainly coming from outside.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty interesting there.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
I think cow races is a funny idea. Like, that's like the horse races in this universe.
So I was kind of confused. They're just kind of making it seem like grandma races the cows. Like, she herself goes head-to-head with some cows and beats them.
I think cow or is like the gold standard. And it's like, you got to beat this cow. But like,
or it's like a horse racing thing, like you're saying, where she just trains them.
She trains the cows. I would want to see some cows run. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe she does, but she's definitely faster than the cows because when the cow's running towards the house, she like runs and grabs the cow and like stops it like on a dime.
Yeah,
which causes Phony Bone to like fly into the house.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's pretty tough. She's like a super badass character.
Yeah.
And like the take no shit kind of character. But Phony Bone has no idea where Smiley is, the third cousin. But Grandma lets them stay over until Grandma goes back to Barrel Haven for cow races.
He lets them stay in the barn.
Yeah, but they have to stay in the barn.
Yep.
So they're like, well, I guess we can look for Smiley at Barrel Haven. Which is like kind of ambitious to be like, maybe he's just at this random city.
It's first good place to look. Yeah. You know?
Like goodest place as any, I guess.
Issue 4.
Yeah. Take it away.
Let's see here. So I guess one of the reasons Phony got kicked out of like Boneville is because he built an orphanage on a hazardous waste landfill.
Yeah, like I like the scam ideas that Jeff Smith comes with.
Yeah.
Like one of them's a slaughterhouse and a petting zoo together, mm-hmm. which I think is it's obviously not a good idea.
But anyway, they're like doing chores and stuff to earn their keep and whatnot. And Phony's just like over it. And so he just splits and goes to Barrowville.
Yeah.
Or Barrowhaven.
Like, he's like, I'm going to bet on these cow races.
Yeah. He's going
to get rich.
I don't know how he's going to do that. He's just going to sway people or I don't know. Anyway, so he leaves and Nathan, Phone gets some action here.
Yeah.
Not really, but he's close.
Some kid action. I don't know what is supposed to be implied here, but Thorn
and Phone.
Phone.
They take a bath, Nathan.
Yeah, together.
Yeah, in the same cold ass spring, apparently.
Yeah. So, yeah, good for Bone, man.
He gets in good. I love how nervous he gets when like her like dress is on the ground.
And he's like shaking and sweating and shit.
That's
really funny. I like when like just part of the design of the Bone characters, but I like when eyebrows are almost appearing like they're floating.
Oh,
like,
they're
still attached to the character, but they like float. So when someone's like eyebrows go up, it goes like past like their actual head and shit.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
It's a lot of fun. I feel like I know some examples where people do that, but
like Diary of Wimpy Kid or something, maybe.
Probably.
That's a comic too, isn't it?
Yeah, technically.
I read that comic too. We should read Diary of Wimpy Kid.
No,
I don't want to. Yeah.
Nah.
Bad idea.
Anyway, so Phony Bone, he runs into like the kid possums. Mm-hmm. And they're just hanging around. They think he's Phone, but Phone Bone. But
bit
he's
racist.
Not. Yeah, no. What the hell? You mm-hmm. just think they all look alike?
Yeah. Every Bone character looks. I mean, to be fair, they do look alike.
And so he's just saying that he's going to the Barrowhaven, and they point him in the wrong direction, like on purpose, because he's an ass.
Yeah, the kids.
Like Phony Bone's like a huge dick.
Yeah, he is.
He's grumpy.
And so the kids are like, oh, you're going the wrong way. It's that way.
Yeah. And so he sends him into like these scary dark woods. It just gets dark all of a sudden mm-hmm. in these certain parts of the woods.
Yeah, you're right. He kind of just walks into some dark woods.
And he runs into he finds where the rat creatures are sleeping. And so he kind of hides. And then a big rat creature comes, Nathan.
What's his name?
His name's King Duck.
Yep. That guy's actually scary. He's like super
tall. His teeth are always showing.
Yeah, his teeth are always showing. He's got bigger horns and he's always like hunched over. But his teeth are like so sharp and like long and shit. So I was like, this is like an actual scary creature. Can you imagine like Jock drawing King Doc?
Jock
like the witches artist and stuff.
Oh, terrifying.
Yeah, I feel like.
Dude, that'd be a sick commission from him.
You're right.
Can you imagine? Be like, hey,
you have a red bone.
You have a red bone. You know the rat creatures? King Doc. Can you draw him?
Love King Doc.
But anyway, so like, he's mad because go ahead.
I just love the like juxtaposition of just how cute like the Bone characters are, and then we see King Doc on like the next page, and it's like holy fuck,
yeah.
So like,
it's really cool like contrast between characters like having these cute things and just terrifying,
especially for like kids reading this, and they're like, whoa, this guy's bad news, you know? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So King Doc's talking about how these guys missed the Phony Bone that they were looking for. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that they're called upon by the Hooded One.
Yep.
I'm like, that's a scary name.
Very
scary.
It's
a cool name for a scary person.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. And we like kind of jump to this valley or something that has got like thousands of these rat creatures.
Yeah. We've only seen two up to this point, but there's thousands.
Yeah. They got torches and stuff. Real scary.
Yeah.
And the Hooded One is just looks like the Sith Lord, but you never see his face.
Yeah.
He's always got his head down. He's got real scary bubbles. So you know he's a scary person.
Yeah, dude. The lettering for this guy is sick because the tails of the bubbles like go down and like under his hood.
Yeah, like he's smoking.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like it's a really cool effect.
Yeah, so what he wants is like for the rat creatures just to attack the barn. Because mm-hmm. I don't know how they know that they're at their barn, but
I think they just found out.
They just found out. And so all these rat creatures are going to go for the barn.
They're going to attack the barn so that the red dragon will go protect Bone, which means that the red dragon won't be there to protect Phony Bone.
Right. Something like that.
Yeah. And so they all like start to attack and they go to Grandma's house.
Apparently Thorn has like these prophecy dreams or whatever. I don't know. She can tell the future because she had a dream that
her
house is being attacked by the rat creatures. And Phone Bone like wakes her up saying like, yeah, they are being attacked right now.
And she's like, oh, fuck. I could tell the future.
Yeah.
But if anything, it's just happening right now.
So we're in issue 5, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really call them issues. It's like chapters, kind of.
Yeah, like this chapter's, the last chapter is called King Dock. This one's called Barrel Haven.
Yeah, that's kind of, that was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So these rat creatures are surrounding the barn, and Grandma's all chill. She's not worried at all.
She's like, I'll just fight them.
She's like,
you guys run.
She's like, you run when I tell you. And she fucking takes both her hands, punches through the wall, grabs two rat creatures, and pulls them through.
It's fucking
like
sick.
Like a fucking boss.
And I love how he like did this in the panel layout, because the door is like right where the panel gutter is. So it looks like she's punching through like the between panels.
That's so fucking cool.
It's so good.
Genius.
And, like, the lettering and shit there for like all the crunches and shit.
Way
and, like,
before its time.
It makes like a really, yeah, it really is actually. Cause
like,
it's
this
so,
is genius.
It's so creative. And I just love how much of a Chad the grandma is. She's like, I'll just fight him. You know, I did this in the war.
Yeah, apparently she's a vet. Like a rat creature war.
And she's like, I'll just punch through this door and that's how we'll start.
Yeah, you know? She's like, I'm not worried.
Yeah.
And so Thorn and Bone split. They're being chased.
Really good chase scene too. Like there's
a
lot of this book is like silent panels as they're like doing stuff, and it's just like really cool.
They're really covering some ground.
I wonder, I mean, surely all of these pages have already been sold, but I wonder if he's like still making Bone comics. Like I would love to have my hands on one. That'd be sick.
Like a single issue?
Yeah, like a single page from Bone. I think that'd be fucking phenomenal.
If he just like drew Bone on like a sticky note, I'd be pretty fucking stoked.
I'd frame it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Frame it and like put lights around it and shit. That'd be like my most prized possession.
Like, because he's probably drawn him like a million times.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like it takes too long.
Yeah, no. And so there's this one part where Thorn uses Bone as like a weapon.
And that was funny.
And like makes him headbutt one of the rat creatures.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. So they get surrounded, you know, and then it cuts to Barrel Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And Phony Bone enters his bar with human people.
Yep.
Asks for a beer, and look who it is, Nathan.
It's Smiley.
It's Smiley Bone serving him a big old beer. And for some reason, he's being weird. Like, he's like, oh, buy me a beer. And he's like, oh, let's get another round of beers.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
He's like, great.
And he's working at the bar because he couldn't pay his bar tab because they don't have money. They don't use money in this town.
They pay in trade.
Pay in trade like and eggs. Goods and services. And so now Phony Bone has a debt to pay, and he has to like wash dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
And so Phony's like, why did you give me so much beer?
He's like, you know I don't have eggs. And he's like, I don't know.
But yeah, so the owner comes. His name's Lucius or something. And he's like, it'll be 2 eggs for those 5 beers that you had. I'm like, that's a great deal.
I would do that.
For 2 eggs?
Imagine buying a carton of eggs for like $4 or whatever.
Yeah, for 12?
Yeah, and then you get like, how many beers is that?
That's 24? 30 beers, Nathan.
30-ish beers? That's insane.
How did you get 24 out of a multiple of 5?
Oh, he got, it was 2 eggs for 5 beers?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then you're right.
Yeah.
30. So then 30.
Yeah, you get a 30 rack for
a 30 rack for,
for a dozen
for a
eggs?
Carton of eggs. I like this exchange rate.
Yeah, dude. Need to go to Barrel Haven.
But it seems like Smiley's kind of like the clueless, kind of like Patrick from SpongeBob kind of character, where he's like, because he's like bartending, and obviously it would be kind of amazing to see Phony Bone there.
Yeah.
And he just like serves him beer like nothing's wrong. Mm-hmm. and I really like that aspect.
I just like that beer's in this book.
Yeah. There's like beer and cigars, and like,
yeah,
none of the dirty libs will let none of this shit be in children's books now.
Yeah, no.
But anyway.
What else are we talking about?
They don't use Why are money. All the old people, Daniel, super ripped? This like old guy, the guy that owns the barn, huge.
Yeah, if you own a bar, you got to be huge.
That's true. But this guy's like Bane if he's like 60 years old. That's what it looks like. He's like hunched over because he's so huge.
There's some attendees at the bar. They're of different sizes and statures.
Yeah, true.
So at least it's not everybody is just jacked for no reason.
Yeah, it's just this guy.
So we cut back to Thorn and Bone. And the dragon comes, saves the day,
mm-hmm.
Scares the rats off and whatnot. Apparently, there's some sort of like territory agreement that they have, like the rats and the dragon or something. Did you pick up on that?
I did too, yeah. Like the dragon knows what's going on, and he's kind of been like following Bone to like protect him. That's the way we kind of see him, but we don't really know why.
Yeah.
He's being protected specifically.
Mm-hmm.
But the dragon talks to the rat creature and is like, you're in my territory. So it's like, what's going on there?
Yeah.
But I like it.
And so they're Thorn and Bone are worried about Grandma, so they just hop on the dragon's back. He doesn't fly. He doesn't have wings or anything. He just runs really fast.
Yeah.
He's fucking huge. He like looks like a big animal, so you wouldn't expect him to be fast.
Yeah.
But they go to grandma's and it's burning. It's smoking, Nathan.
It's on fire. She's probably dead, Daniel.
Yeah, man. She's definitely toasted.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to issue 6 here.
Phonies Inferno.
Phonies Inferno. And
I forgot to bring this up, but when Phony Bone realizes that they don't take money and they only take eggs, there's this panel where when he realizes and his eye is just like wide fucking open.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like an actual like eyeball and it's like wide open, even though their eyes have been dots this whole time.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
But
anyway, issue 6.
They go to the house and grandma's okay. Don't worry.
Yeah, she's like, I just fought
them. She's used to this shit, yeah.
I was more worried about you guys.
Yeah. I'm glad you're okay. Like, and so I like how Thorn doesn't even like acknowledge that this dragon is like real.
Real, yeah.
And just save their life.
She hasn't had enough time to process it.
Yeah, they just hop on him and start asking him favors.
Yeah, they're like, oh shit,
like, I didn't believe in you like 5 minutes ago, but I need your help here.
But like, can I get on you?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She didn't think about
logistically. Can I ride your ass?
Yeah, logistically, she didn't realize how that would work, but she's like, let's just do it.
What if his back's not strong enough to carry people?
Also, you know? In the course of the fight with the rat creatures, some of her shit got like ripped up. So it's almost like she's wearing like a strapless dress almost at this point from like her hoodie.
Yeah, and like...
So I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and it's like a skirt, basically. Yeah, like a lot of leg here.
So you know Phone Bone's foaming at the mouth. Trying to get some more bath action.
Phone's got his bone up right now.
Bone is bricked up.
And the dragon recognizes grandma. He's like, hello, Rose.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
We've known this character as Grandma Ben.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting, but apparently her name is Rose. Rose Ben.
Or Ben Rose?
No, I think Rose is her first name.
Rose Ben.
Because Bone's like, I didn't know you even had a first name. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was cool, too.
Yeah, and then the dragon leaves. I thought they were going to kiss for a second.
That would have been crazy.
Because they were, like, staring at each other. It looks mad, but I'm like, are they going to kiss?
I didn't get that indication, but you know what?
Because there's, like, it's almost like, there's, like, 1.5 pages of them just staring at each other.
I'm
like,
oh, that's true. Some tension there.
Yeah, I'm like, they're not very far apart.
Maybe there's a Shrek situation here.
Perhaps. Yeah, they're only, like, 8 inches away. But for some reason, we
go to Barrowville.
They go to Barrowville because they still got to race the cows. They get all packed up.
They're like, that was really scary, but like, I'm still trying to race cows.
Yeah, I'd be like, we're going to be late for our trip or whatever.
Which is crazy.
That's like your house burning down and you still go to Disneyland or something.
Yeah, like I had this Vegas trip planned.
Like, it's already paid for, you know?
Yeah, true.
Like, the tickets are non-refundable. We might as well just go.
Yeah.
It would be safer in there.
What are you going to go mope around?
Yeah, exactly.
Your burnt down house. No, go raise some cows.
File an insurance claim? I don't think so. And we cut back to Bellhaven. Phony's washing some dishes like he should.
Doing some blue collar work.
Yeah.
As a rich guy.
We find out the reason why he was like run out of town is like there was some big thing, some big festival gathering picnic thing.
Yeah, he was running for mayor. He held a picnic. He's like, I'll give everybody free food. It was around this like statue that everybody likes, and so Phony Bone made a big balloon of himself, like it's the Thanksgiving Day parade, and the wind picked up, and the balloon took the beloved statue away, and it, like, hurt people, I think.
And then he also made, like, some sort of, like, prune tarts or something.
Yeah.
He made it seem like it was, like, a Pop-Tart, but made with prunes.
Yeah, but the person that he got the prunes from gave it to him at a discount. But they were spoiled, so everybody got sick at the same time as well.
Yeah,
so people
are
just fed up with this guy because he's trying to get rich quick, but also being really cheap at the same time.
Everyone was shitting their pants, and then once they were done shitting, they just ran him out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And just out the window of this like dishwashing station that he has is the hooded one, and apparently he's just like the Grim Reaper because he has this big ass scythe, and he's talking about how he wants like Phony's soul, the hooded one. And I was like, oh, this has got kind of dark.
Yeah.
And they're like talking and he's interrupted by Smiley bringing more dishes for him to wash. And then he just like vanishes, like the hooded one.
It's like a Scream situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe I thought it might have been like a mental thing. Like this is all in his head or something. It
could be.
But and then Phone gets. Oh, wait, no. So there's some bit where they're riding on their cows or whatever. And Phone gets friend zoned, Nathan.
He does. Well, yeah. I think...
But the door's kind of open.
I don't think friend zoning was like a thing at that point, because Thorn's like, we're friends. And then she like touches Bone's thighs and then he faints. So I think it's like...
With all the hearts drawn in, yeah.
Yeah. I love when there's like a bunch of hearts around him.
I was like, oh, friend zone. Yeah, because like It's like cute, you know?
It is cute.
And then they get to Barrowville.
Barrowhaven.
And they're reunited, Nathan. Smiley and Phony.
Yep.
All get reunited. They give each other big hugs.
But the hooded guy's, he's still watching from the trees. So what's going on there?
Yeah. What's his soul still? From him specifically.
He knows this, he knows Phony's real name, which is Phonesible P. Bone.
Which is a terrible name.
It's a really funny proper name for like a cartoon character.
Phonesible. I feel like he came up with Phony Bone first.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what could be the full name of this?
Yeah.
Phonesible.
But the hooded guy is like, make no mistake, we will complete our transaction. So it's pretty clear that like Phony Bone in his very unethical business practices fucked this guy over in some way. Or like maybe he was like, yeah, I'll sell you my soul, just give me whatever I need at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I like that. But that's the end of the trade. The cousins are reunited.
There's a cool bit, like the last panel, where you see like the hooded one like talking as he like walks away,
mm-hmm.
and then you can see in the background like Phone and Phony Bone like reuniting, but it's just Phone like choking him out.
I didn't even realize that.
That was my favorite part. One of my favorite parts.
Yep. But good book. Love that shit. Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Netflix, I know you're listening.
Yeah, Netflix.
Make
what
this
the fuck?
This would be so sick.
This would.
It'd be nostalgia and a new audience all in one.
It really would be. I feel like.
I feel like someone in Netflix just needs to go to Comic-Con and just like see all the animated shit and wow, the kids are there because shit that's on Netflix. You know,
because like this would work too. Like their Cuphead series, which is like that old school looking video game.
Yeah,
was apparently really popular and really good.
Yeah,
I don't
cool.
understand why you wouldn't be able to do that with this, because Bone is so iconic, it's so huge, and people like recognize it, and kids would be all over the shit.
Who do you think could voice act Bone?
I was thinking that, you know, because I think it would have to be somebody that has like a lighter voice, like a maybe not like a high voice, but like a light voice. So almost like a Steven Wynn, who did like Invincible, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like of that vein. And then Phony Bone, I feel, is very, like, caricaturistic. So he would have to be, like, some guy who could feel like a business voice, maybe, like, a little bit more raspy.
Yeah, kind of, like, annoying. Like
yeah, so bit. I feel like there's really a good opportunity to, like, make a project like that super interesting. I don't know if they had any casting for Bone at the time, but
I feel like Bone could be, like, someone younger, you know? Like
yeah.
Like, it could be, like, a kid voice actor or, like, even maybe, like, a Jesse Eisenberg could work. Just like some,
okay.
I don't think he'd ever do it, but that sometime for I was thinking Michael Cera.
Cera would be kind of cool.
Michael Cera kind of sounds pathetic sometimes, but
like I think that would kind of work for Bone a little bit, even though Bone's not like pathetic.
I feel like Bone is like the hero. You know, he's like courageous.
Yeah.
You know? I guess you know how Michael Cera was in like the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah.
If he did something like that,
yeah, he was kind of peppy and stuff in that. I feel like that would work.
Yeah, if he's like peppy and like talk like. Ah, like just kind of being
maybe Will Arnett for Phony Bone, perhaps.
No, dude, it had to be a fucking who's the dude who plays Rexplode?
Oh, Jason Matzoukas.
Jason Matzoukas.
That'd be cool.
I think that'd be funny.
Yeah, but tons of opportunity for that show. I assume it'll get made at some point.
And then Seth Rogen is Smiley Bone.
That'd be perfect. That would be incredible, actually. Yeah, get us on the projects. I'll fund it. I got $1,000 I could fork up.
I can make voices.
Yeah.
We have the artwork already. Concept art, it's right here.
Yeah, we got all the storyboards.
Exactly.
I'll do it. Anyway, let's get into Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters.
So we got some acknowledgments from Jeff Smith himself, the man, the myth. And he's like, here's a complete list of everyone who has helped. And it's this giant list of people that have helped him at some point. There's some interesting name drops here. We got
Paul Pope,
Frank Miller.
Oh,
has helped a little bit. Neil Gaiman has helped. We got
no way.
Who else we got? I saw a couple.
The Ohio State University Cartoon Research Library.
Yeah, there's a bunch of like organizations and stuff, like the Comic Buyer's Guide. But you also got people like Alex Ross,
Jim Valentino. Is he in the in the Image Boys?
Yeah. Alex Ross, Daniel.
Oh, no shit.
Art Spiegelman of Mouse fame.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Will Eisner.
Maybe he's just talking about
Will Eisner, Daniel. Can we just focus on that?
Yeah, absolutely. They're buds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They're probably like
Marv
a lot
Wolfman.
Do you think he knows these people?
He knows these people.
I feel like, I don't know. Did did people know Jeff Smith before Bone? You know,
not before Bone, but I think this is like
maybe inspirations.
I think this trade was like a reprint, and so that's the one that like we're reading, or maybe they
didn't. Oh, the acknowledgments were in the reprint,
or maybe like this trade was collected like way later, and so it's like of his career at this point thus far, which he was probably pretty far into Bone. He had met and connected with these people and been like, "How do you like my book?" or whatever. And then they helped him out or gave him some pointers and stuff. But he names like a whole last page, 12-point font of people.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. It's cool seeing like who he knows and how people like the Small Press Expo and shit like that would know him. Or the National Cartoonist Society.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And they have a whole Rose trade. Just a Rose.
Really?
Next page is just all other books by Jeff Smith.
Mm-hmm.
His other notable works.
All the volumes, all the books.
Bone Quest.
Yeah.
Quest for the Spark.
And then there's also ebooks where he's got his other books. There's Razzle or RASL. I'm not sure what that is, but he's got three parts of that. Tukey Save the Humans, which sounds pretty fun. I want to know what that's about.
Little Mouse Gets Ready.
He just came out with one not too long ago that he crowdfunded and it was wildly successful, and it's about like Africa or something.
Yeah, I remember that coming out a couple years ago.
No, it came out like recently.
Oh, really? I remember something that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah. And then we got an About the Author, and he's got 10 Eisner Awards, 11 Harvey Awards.
Jesus Christ, he's got 10 Eisners?
Eisner Awards, which, in for good reason. That's more, I think, that I've ever seen anybody get. Like, probably more. I don't know how many Stance the Guy has, but...
Wasn't it eight?
Maybe, but that's a fucking ridiculous amount, and for good reason, but that's crazy. But
just dominated a category, you know?
Yeah, he really did. So he also got the ALF art for best foreign book in France, as well as awards in Spain, Germany, and Italy before being chosen to launch the first graphic novel imprint for children by Scholastic in 2005. And he was the subject of an Emmy award-winning documentary called The Cartoonist Jeff Smith, Bone, and The Changing Face of Comics. So he's got multiple documentaries that he's been a part of. So this guy's a big fucking deal. Now we're just not nerding out. It's like for real. And yeah. He's got a lot of stuff. And he's got web comics. So go to boneville.com if you want to read those. That's pretty cool. And then there's a sweet map. I think it's what Bone was like working on or drawing on in the beginning. Because at the beginning when they're in the desert, they had like a map.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what that was supposed to be. Or maybe he just like is kind of outlining what this whole like valley is supposed to look like.
You know what I noticed about this, Nathan?
What?
Boneville's not on it.
Boneville's not on it.
Yeah. How do we know where Boneville is?
I think it's off the map, which is why I think it's like the map that Bone's making, perhaps. But but we see like Grandma Ben's farm. We see Barrel Haven and stuff like that. And then there's like stuff that we don't know in this trade. Like
the Rat Creature Temple.
Or the Prayer Stone Hill.
the Dragon's Stair.
Yeah. The Old Man's Cave. So
a lot of stuff.
Lots of cool stuff. Well, that's back matter. It's pretty simple. I like it.
Yeah, I like the map. I think that's always important.
Yeah, the map's pretty sick. So, again, big bummer that this got canceled for a project, but I don't think it's the first time.
I think Amazon should pick it up.
I think that'd be incredible.
Because that'd be really cool.
Seth Rogen does the Amazon stuff.
Yeah.
Get him on Smiley Bone.
I'm pretty sure nothing's off the table for Seth Rogen.
Yeah, but this will get made. It like has to, right?
Yeah. I mean, can you think of a more influential comic, you know?
Not really.
Yeah, because like as I like kind of grew up and just like saw other books, like Bone was always around, like in libraries and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in comic shops, everyone has like a copy of Bone, you know, and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's just like it's just been around. Or I guess it's maybe more of a generational thing, like for us, just because we would see it at book fairs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I'm trying to find. I know that there's been other studios that have tried to adapt it. I think at one time it was like Warner Bros. For like a movie and stuff, but yeah.
I'd watch a phone movie. Or phone bone movie.
Maybe like Hulu. I'm trying to find it, but I'm not going to. Anyway, Daniel, let's get into... Oh, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Nathan, so love it with some marshmallows, sprinkles, and strawberry drizzle.
This is a gotta have it of the first ever ice cream I had, because this is the first ever comic book I ever read. So whatever the first ice cream I had was, it's a love it of that.
You know what? I changed my answer to I used to love like Rainbow Sherbet as a child. So a love it of Rainbow Sherbet.
What did I used to love?
Or like a double scoop, you know, from like Water and Ice.
Ooh, yeah, Water Ice double scoop.
What was that? Thrifty was the ice cream that they had there, and they had those weird cylinder scoopers.
Oh, yeah.
And so they'd stack really well.
Yeah, classic.
Double scoop of that.
Yeah, some throwbacks. I like that.
Yeah, man. And then you, it's like kind of a convenience store, too, so you can get some candy in there or like a soda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or some ice.
That's sick.
But yeah, I could see myself like continuing to read this. And it was mostly nostalgic, I think, but it also had great pacing.
Yeah, I think if I wanted like a real nostalgia fucking drug, it would be Bone.
Absolutely.
Like Bone is nostalgia heroin for me.
It's like so easy. Like
it's so
just to dip straight back into that.
Yeah, because like this doesn't take very long to read either. Like a lot of it's very elegant, silent storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's just fun cartooning, like genuine cartooning. And it's great.
Yeah.
Love that shit. Also, I want to know more about who this hooded guy is, because I don't remember him at all, but he's kind of scary.
I just want to see how...
Like, what did Phony Bone do?
I just want to see how naked Thorn gets.
Yeah, how naked are we going to get Thorn?
How much more leg are we going to get?
How much are we going to get? Any cleavage? we'll see. But Daniel, let's get into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
What'd you pick up this week?
Yeah, then we got a couple things. Thing you didn't get is Firepower number 20. Those are coming out really fast.
Are they still? Holy shit, they're still going.
Number 20, yeah.
That's got to be the longest thing Samney's been on in forever.
How long was his Daredevil run?
Oh, pretty long.
Oh, okay.
Probably like 20, 30-ish.
That feels right.
I wonder if I could look that up.
I haven't read Batman Killing Time, but I just bought 3 just because. So hopefully I like that since I have 3 so far. I also got Little Monsters 3.
Oh, yeah, I got to pick that up too.
And I got Twig number 1, Nathan.
Oh my god, I just googled how many issues Chris Samnee was on Daredevil, and it actually came up on Google, like the results.
The number?
It was 7.
He was on 7 issues?
Dude, that guy's a premium artist, so it's like it's really hard to get him to stay in one spot for very long. I think even Captain America was like less than 10.
I thought it was like 5 or something.
I'm going to Google it, since I figured out I can Google this now. Captain America. Doesn't tell me.
It didn't work for that one.
I was genuinely impressed that I could Google that, but...
What do we know Chris Samnee from? I mean, how long was...
Daredevil, Black Widow, Captain America,
Chris Samnee.
Jonah and the Impossible Monsters.
That's still going.
He was... Yeah, that's a really long series too. How is he doing that?
What do we know him from? Like, what was the first thing we saw him in?
Probably like a Black Widow or a Daredevil. I mean, he's been on Thor. He's been on all sorts of things.
I think I know him from Black Widow. So
yeah, Black Widow I think was the first big one to like kind of take everything by storm. I'm going to look up Chris Samnee books. Maybe there is one more.
And I got the Scotty Young cover for Twig.
Twig came out?
Twig came out.
Oh, fuck. I got to pick that up.
They had plenty of copies. I don't think you have to worry.
Sweet.
But what about... Oh, you haven't gone, right?
Yeah, I couldn't make it to the store this week, but Twig is one that I've been very heavily anticipating because I think people are like comparing it to Bone, actually, which is kind of a coincidence.
I see that because I was reading it. I read it today.
Really?
I read it before you got here.
Hell yeah.
And I was like... I'm reading a lot of kid-friendly comics today.
They're just fun, dude.
Yeah, like, they are a lot of fun.
You know, sometimes comic books don't need to be about murdering people.
Like, you can read it in, like 5-10 minutes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But you can look at it for, like, an hour. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The colors on this are stupid good.
Really?
And the pencils and inks are incredible. Just the artwork is awesome.
It looks like just, like, a fun, yeah, like, fantastical kind
of
book.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I like a lot of the concepts, so...
Mm-hmm.
Hats off to Scotty Young and his writing chops.
Pretty cool, pretty cool.
So, yeah, you'll love it. Let's see here. Did you read anything other than our book?
Yes, Daniel. I read Step by Bloody Step, number 3. And it got me so excited that I tweeted about it. And the whole creative team behind that book was like, yeah.
We know.
This is good. But that was pretty cool.
You're damn right. Yeah, I saw that.
I noticed that every issue of that book, they're switching up the like creditations. What is it called? Like their names.
Credentials.
Because you know how in a comic book it's like, here's the writer, here's the artist, here's the colorist.
Yeah.
They like switch up the order every issue.
That's fun.
So that's how I credited them in the post. Like it was colorist, writer, and then artist. But I'm pretty sure the last one had Matias Bergara. Or maybe it was Matheus Lopez. I can't remember which one's the artist or which one's the colorist. But they work together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But dude, that book is incredible.
Incredible.
It really is. It's insane. that I care so much about like these characters, and it's a completely silent book.
That's it says a lot about all of it.
It's yeah, and the there's and so the many cool action beats. The fucking robot, whatever, I don't even know what to call them, but there's like a big robot guy that's protecting this girl and just taking her places, and they like become friends. And there's a part where like
no spoilers, Nathan.
I don't. Yeah, I shouldn't spoil it. But there's some fucking
There's
some no fucking actually.
The robot fucks the girl.
No fucking so far. But there's like a high society and stuff, and you like understand like the hierarchy of this society.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's actually lettering in it, but it's like there's like dialogue, but it's all in like an ancient or like a foreign like language. So they like create characters that are really interesting.
Yeah.
So like I'm starting to like recognize characters as things. Like I know this dude's name. Like I could write this dude's name for you right now.
Like, interesting.
Which is, yeah, it's really cool. And they just like use all the tools that comics has as like a storytelling medium mm-hmm. for this book. And I thought, and like the last issue ended in such a tragedy, right?
Uh-huh.
And I thought that it was only a 3-issue series. So when it ended, I was like, that's it. Like I almost broke down. And then I looked on Twitter real quick and it was like, issue 4 is about to end the FOC. So I'm like, oh, thank God. So it's a 4-part. For some reason, I thought it was a 3-part comic.
Did it feel like an ending?
It did.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck me. That's what am cool. I supposed to do now? So, yeah. So I really enjoy the book. I can bring it over if you want to read it. But it's...
Maybe we can do an episode on it, Nathan.
I would love to try and get Cy Spurrier on. Or even like the artist. Because there's probably even more to ask them, honestly.
Yeah, I know Cy's work.
It's an unbelievable accomplishment.
Yeah, when the trade comes around, we'll... see what we 100%. Got going on.
Yeah, so I like that book a lot. That's probably recommendation of the month for me.
Wow. Okay. Anything else?
No, that's all I read.
Nathan, I found time for another trade.
Oh, wow.
I was just itching. I had a...
On top of the one we were supposed to do, and Bone?
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah, and I just need more craziness in my life.
What'd you read?
And so I read the second volume of Venom. Of the Donny Cates run. Need more Donny Cates in my life.
Was that where the Venom dog was there?
Yeah, that shit was fucking cool.
Wasn't it?
It's adorable.
It's that book, that trade is like pretty dark.
It really is. I've noticed just kind of, I don't know if I appreciate it. Like I do and I don't. Like how Donny Cates writes when it comes to like his arcs.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're very separate, you know? Like, volume 1 and 2 were like very, very different.
Yeah, 2 is drastically different, but it's necessary. Yeah,
it was necessary and I enjoyed it. It was kind of like ground level and stuff like that. I think I was kind of expecting like the craziness of volume 1, but...
Keep going, I would say.
Yeah, no, I already downloaded Absolute 3? Carnage, because that's what's next.
Oh, is that next? Okay. Well, yeah, like that shit's unbelievable.
The third volume of Venom is the tie-in stuff
okay,
with Absolute Carnage, so I'm going to read Carnage, then the tie-ins.
Yeah, Ibon Coelho does the... third volume, which is the guy that did Dark Ages just recently for Marvel.
Oh, nice. So
he's still like super fun. But yeah, Absolute Carnage is like, that was supposed to be like the third trade, but then they made it an event. So now Donnie's like, I gotta write.
Yeah. Venom still. So. There was I thought Ryan Stegman was on like all of it, but it turns out there's a couple fill-in artists because he needed more time
for yeah.
Absolute Carnage and stuff.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Which is a kind of a bummer, but I like understand. Mm-hmm. And the artists that they got were like, insanely good too.
Yeah, Absolute Carnage was 5 issues, but the first issue was 60 pages.
Yeah, I know. So. I've been so I went back to like the first, like the start of like the Ryan Stegman podcast to kind of like listen to them talk about the early issues and stuff like that, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. just kind of hear them because the first couple episodes are like writing Absolute Carnage, so it's really fun for me to like listen to them,
yeah,
in the creative process while I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's cool. I'm glad that you're getting on that. That's
yeah, because it's
some of the best Marvel stuff for sure, because it's very clearly like their vision and they were very clearly like excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's just like the craziest shit. It looks so good. And so I just remember having so much fun reading it.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted I'm like reading Hulk. I'm like, this is so good. I want more of this. I'm like, wow, there's so much more out, you know?
Yeah. I think if you're looking for craziness, Silver Surfer Black, we should do just an episode on that because it's actually insane. Or also Thanos Wins.
Yeah.
Which is the Thanos trade he did, is some of the craziest shit that he's ever done. Probably like a little bit more than Venom.
Wow.
Yeah. But Venom, he gets pretty insane too. But yeah.
How far did you get on the Venom run?
I went to Venom Island, which I believe was 20-something. It was right after Absolute Carnage, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right.
Either the trade after Absolute Carnage or the one after the trade after Absolute Carnage.
They're so about it was like in 12, the 20s. They're about like 6-issue trades.
So yeah, but they had like Mark like, Bagley on that.
Yeah,
on
I that saw trade, that.
Which is really cool. So yeah, he's got some killer people on Venom.
Yeah, it seems like mostly Stegman's on like the Carnage stuff and then all the stuff that has Null in it.
Yeah.
So this seems right.
I wonder when we'll see Null again. Surely he has to come back.
Did you read King in Black?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he doesn't die, but...
Well, like, I'm not going to say anything, but even if a character would die, not commenting on whether he does or does not...
He could always come back.
He could always come back, yeah.
Right. Anyway, so I read that. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-mm.
Did you watch anything, Nathan?
Yes, Daniel. I watched a couple things.
Ooh, let's hear it.
I was on a trip.
Oh, yeah.
During that trip, we did a hike. And then we were going to like do something later. And so in that in between time, we watched some movies. And I rewatched How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Okay.
And that is an unbelievable movie.
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
It's like top three animated movies for me. The scale of that movie.
Dude, is like insane. Wasn't there like an alpha and omega dragon or something?
There was like two alpha dragons that were huge.
Gigantic, yeah.
And they look huge and they feel huge. And like the... Like, every single dragon looks different, and they look unique, and I'm like, this is so cool, because it's
how
like,
old are you and your friends? Like, 25?
24 to 26-ish.
Yeah, and you're and just like, just, how just, to train your dragon, too? Let's go.
And we're like, dude, this is a sick movie. We should watch this. And it is. It's unbelievable. And like,
did you just have Netflix in your Airbnb or something?
I was getting so emotional for this movie. There's two
moments. No, it is a good one.
Yeah, there's two moments shit. In that movie where I'm like, this is such genuinely great storytelling. Like, you could tell that everybody... There's so many like fun creative ideas. Like whoever was the art director behind it or was responsible for like, let's make this shot cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Did their job right. Also, the score is incredible, which I don't think I picked up on the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But even if something like remotely kind of interesting is happening, the score goes unnecessarily hard. And you're like, holy shit, this is some crazy shit happening.
I love a super heavy score.
Yeah. And like all the dragons just like feel like dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Which is like an obviously great part of the show, and they use that against you too.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that movie, but I also saw something new that I'd never seen before. It's called Bronze.
Okay.
It's on Hulu right now. I don't think it's a Hulu original, but imagine like Napoleon Dynamite sort of awkward vibes.
Yeah.
But it's the story focuses on a washed up Olympian who only got bronze, and damn, she's gonna get a bunch of money from her old coach to train a new person who's supposed to go to the Olympics.
Okay.
So she's like a gymnast.
Yeah.
So doing all the gymnast stuff. And like she, since getting bronze, she like loses with her dad, you know? And
yeah.
She's just like super awkward. Yeah. It's a movie.
Oh, movie.
And it's really, really funny. Like it's,
okay.
If you like just sort of like the awkwardness, it's not even like that awkward, but like just the things that she says are just so funny and so weird. And
is anyone in it that I would know, or is this
Thomas Middleditch is in it?
Who's that?
He's the guy from like Silicon Valley, the main guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he plays a character called Twitchy because he's got like a twitch.
So, okay,
but he's like a really good actor, or really good at acting like he's got a twitch.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a really funny part of the story.
What made you guys watch that?
Parker knows of the movie and he's like, this is hilarious, you have to watch it. And okay, he was right. But there's also Sebastian Stan in it, who's like a competing gymnast coach.
Nice.
And it's super funny. And
he's
there's
in
like
so many like just random projects, and it's
and
really
he's like
fun.
A douchebag in all of them, right? And he's like really good at it.
Basically,
there's a sex scene in this movie where they do gymnast stuff while they're having sex, and it's probably the best sex scene I've ever seen because it is hilarious. And it's just Sebastian Stan doing like gymnast stuff while they're like having sex, and it's so funny, dude.
Yeah,
it's incredible. But yeah, I definitely recommend that. I had a great time watching it.
Okay, for sure. I'll just keep that in mind.
It's called Bronze.
Bronze.
But that's everything I watch. Oh, I started watching the newest season of Better Call Saul, season 6.
There's season 6.
They're like season 6 is coming out right now. It's working up to the finale of the show.
And that's the last one.
That's the last season.
So it's longer than Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
So good. Yep. Literally so good and heartbreaking.
Yeah, we're in the middle of season 3 right now, and it's awesome.
Of Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Okay. Watch Saul after. It's actually incredible.
I
wish I watched them back to back.
I don't think she's like necessarily as into it as I am. I know it's great, but like, when did we just get to the part? We got to the part where like Hank was shot and he's going through that like recovery kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
And he's
got, by like, the end, if she loves it, watch it.
I'll get her to watch like El Camino. I don't have that much time like to watch stuff.
Put it on your radar. A relationship
show. Yeah, I want to. Because like Saul Goodman's like my favorite character in Breaking Bad.
He's even better.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I remember watching the first episode. I'm like, all right, let's go. Tuco or whatever.
Yeah, Tuco's in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some characters of the Salamanca family that are fucking unhinged.
I bet. Awesome. They're all fucking nuts.
And like seeing how Gus kind of rises to power and like a lot of the stuff that like
he didn't know
needed context in the show is great. Like the underground meth lab,
mm-hmm.
you see that being built, and there's tons of complications with that. But
is Gale in it?
The crack dude?
No, he's the... So Gale is like the chemist that...
Oh, yes. Yeah, he has shown up in it.
Yeah, because he's the guy who like built the lab.
Okay.
You don't remember him? He's like kind of awkward.
He's in it. He is kind of awkward, and he is in it. I think he consulted on the lab, but he had like... another group of people build it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
No spoilers, Nathan. Anyway, let's get into it. Or let's not get into it.
What else did you watch?
Did you watch everything? Did you go over everything that you watched?
Yeah, I went over everything. Other than Moon Knight, the finale.
Yeah, dude, let's get into it.
Moon Knight, the finale, man.
Wow.
I thought it was pretty cool. I don't think any Disney Plus show has really stuck the landing 100%.
A lot of good stuff was in there. It was a lot of fun.
I had a lot of fun. Like literally I had fun with the whole episode up until when they actually like resolved the story, and I say that with air quotes.
Yeah.
Cuz like nothing really actually gets resolved. It feels like
there's a lot of I have a ton of questions. Okay. You know what I mean?
So full spoilers from here on out, but it is a little bit confusing, but that's my general opinion. So, I think it was cool, but like nothing really felt resolved and I'm disappointed by that.
So a couple statements.
Yeah.
So Harrow gets like the Amit powers. Those are cool, I guess.
That was cool, yeah. The big
his like crocodile. Disciples were just like killing people by holding their hands.
Yeah. But they were doing like the scales thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Amit's doing a big suck. You know, she's sucking all the souls and she's getting bigger.
Getting real big.
And I don't know how Khonshu got big. He just decided to get big.
Yeah, he's like, I can do that too.
He's like,
and then
why was Amit like, you didn't suck a single soul. Why are you so big?
Yeah, the big CGI battle, which is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Layla releases Khonshu. And Harrow releases the alligator lady.
So, one question that's not like a legitimate question, but like, what happens if there's just an earthquake in Egypt and like those pendants fall and crack?
What pendants?
The little Pez dispensers. Like,
I don't know. Yeah,
they just fall over. Is
smash those.
It seems like they're pretty fragile for keeping a god.
Yeah, is there a little stand you can put them on?
Yeah, is there like a magnet that like holds them down?
Maybe a briefcase?
What's the deal there? Yeah.
Anyway. I like how the hippo lady was like talking through dead people.
Tawaret,
that was funny.
And like it seemed like those people were dead. They were moving very awkwardly.
Yeah, I'm like, this is great acting right here. Yeah,
like that guy that was on the ground or whatever.
I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah,
without even her saying what's happening.
Yeah, it was funny to hear Tawaret's voice come from like a dead soldier man. You know?
Yeah.
So I thought that.
So was I didn't like understand what the rules were for like resurrection in this. So, like, Mark is like, I gotta go get Steven when he's, like, a Sandman. And then Tourette's like, no, think about this or whatever. And, like, he just knows this is gonna work if he goes find Steven. He goes in the sands. He believes
hard enough.
He finds the sand statue of Steven.
Which is super lucky.
Which is super lucky. It's a big-ass desert.
Yeah, you're lucky you didn't and have your piggies turned to sand before you found him, you know?
And somehow he knew he's gonna hold hands with them and he'll turn to sand. There's basically no stakes in that because he turns in the sand. 2 seconds later, he's back.
Mm-hmm.
They're both back.
They're both back.
How does he know he's gonna come back? You know what I mean?
But like, here's the thing. Like, obviously, he took a lot of risks there. Like, sure. Too many all at once, right? But you could also make the argument that this was like all in his head still. You know, probably. I agree. It seems like they took a lot of big jumps to be like, this is how we get Stephen Grant back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he just like. He just turns around in the cornfield. It's like, oh, you're back in the sand sea again. And it's like, oh, there's Steven. And it's like, I'll just talk him out of being sand. You know, it's really strange. But like, Also, didn't he like go through the doors to get to that cornfield? Like, how did he get to the cornfield again? I don't even know. But like,
I don't even
the way
know
to get out
about.
Is to go through the doors. It all seems kind of strange.
And then when they went through those big shiny doors, they're just back in this like therapist office. And I'm like, isn't that like their version of the underworld or whatever?
Yeah. So it's kind of tough to see to figure out where they were.
So I guess they had to use that in order to. Did it go through that or something? I don't know. It was really weird.
Mm-hmm. But he gets back.
He gets back.
Gets the Moon Knight shit.
And
Layla's
Don't
tower.
Worry. Moon Knight takes moon flight. He can fly.
He can fly now.
He can fly now. We love it.
That's great.
He's not ambiguous like Wonder Woman or anything.
You'd think that they would have just done that the whole time. Because there's that one episode where they're like in the Jeep. You know?
Yeah.
Layla and Steven were like in a Jeep. And it's like, maybe I could just fly.
Yeah.
But maybe they just needed to talk to each other. I don't know. I did like how he looked when he was flying, though, because you see like a bit of his cape doing like the crescent thing.
Yeah, everyone loves that shit.
Yeah, that shit looks cool.
What I don't like about this like interpretation of Moon Knight is like, I it makes sense and I get why they did it, but like them just flopping back and forward when they're fighting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that he's the only character that can do that necessarily.
Yeah,
but it just seems unnecessary.
I didn't mind that too much. Obviously, we would know who was talking based off how he talked.
Yeah.
But I like that.
And then they change suits when they're Moon Knight.
But that's the part that I like, you know?
Like, it was cool, but I don't think that should be, like, his main fighting style where he just flip-flops back and forward.
I don't think it will be. I think it'll mainly be Mark Spector. But at the time, they were like, we work together now. So, like, I'll just switch back and forth. I did like to see, like, the batons that he had and shit.
Dude, the Mr. Knight like Mr. fight Knight, scene was so fucking cool.
It was really cool. Like, I was glad to finally see like some cool like
some
action.
Brawling.
But like, I don't think that the point of the show is to see cool action. I think what makes the show more exciting is the psychological thriller part and then the Indiana Jones part and then going back to the psychological thriller part.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that's more interesting, more so than like seeing a CGI guy slap some guys around.
Right.
And then get shot at.
Uh-huh.
So I did appreciate that action, but it's like when you're there wasn't like a I think there's ways to do that action better for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it just like didn't feel like the part that I wanted. Like when the it was like one of the only times when the action starts, I'm like, okay, let's get to the next thing, you know?
Like, all right, yeah, definitely.
it was kind of cool to see Amit and Khonshu fight though.
Yeah, that was cool. I love big things when they're fighting.
I liked when he used his like staff with the crescent on it to like hold her down.
Yeah.
Like around her neck. I was like, that's pretty interesting.
Perfect use for that.
Yeah.
I think if they added 20 minutes onto this, it'd be a better paced episode or maybe 10 minutes even.
See, I didn't even.
Because it felt kind of rushed in a way. Like it was over before I knew it.
I think it was the shortest episode. Which
was it really?
Yeah. It was like 44 minutes for like the whole thing.
They had so much to wrap up.
Yeah. So I agree.
Okay. So Layla becomes the avatar
of Towerette.
Do you know? Does she have a name? Do you know her?
No idea.
Have you seen her?
That might be a new thing. I don't even know.
It was cool.
She was really cool.
She had these golden wings.
Like Wonder Woman type.
Like Wonder Woman type. Yeah, she's an Egyptian superhero. Fuck yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Big CGI battles. And then, Nathan. Moon Knight blacks out. And then takes out all the bad guys when he's about to lose.
And I'm like, Jake?
Nope.
And
I could have swore it. They were going to bring him up in this, but they didn't. They hinted. So that leaves the door open.
Did you watch the after credits scene?
There was an after credits scene?
You have to watch right now.
Fuck. I don't know how to pull it up.
Literally, it's the most exciting thing.
I have to like go downstairs to...
I have it on my phone.
Okay, good.
I need you to watch it. I'll cut out the part until you react to what I want you to react to.
Okay.
But here we are. We're a react podcast now. Let me pull it up.
I honestly fucking hate the after credit scenes. It's just a waste of time.
It was like a mid credit scene.
Like, yeah,
you had to wait 3 seconds after the movie.
I actually waited for like a couple seconds, and then I turned off the TV. I didn't even think.
Yeah, this was the shortest episode.
About to say
by about 4 minutes.
Did you watch this episode on your phone?
No, but I have Disney Plus on my phone, so I could have just pulled it up there.
Alrighty, here, let's take a look. Oh, I've seen that little wheelchair kick. Dang.
Daniel, we saw the limousine.
Oh, I forgot about that shit.
The limousine. It says Spectre on the license plate, Daniel.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Oh, okay. My. I was freaking the fuck out. I'm like, oh my God, it's the limousine.
First live action appearance of the limousine.
Also, the psychiatric place is like the Sienkiewicz psychiatric hospital or whatever.
That's what they called it?
Like Bill Sienkiewicz, yeah. You see the sign there.
Cool.
Which is super cool.
Good name.
So yeah, there's a Jake Lockley aspect that Khonshu knows about that apparently Mark and Steven don't know about.
So that was...
That was Jake Lockley. Yeah.
Okay.
He's
that,
like...
That was his... that was the personality.
Correct. And he's normally like a cab driver, but I guess in here, which makes sense, they made him like a limo driver, which is pretty cool.
And he's like this crazy assassin, apparently.
Crazy assassin, yeah. Speaks Spanish or whatever that was. Maybe Egyptian.
Maybe like a...
Which would make sense, too.
Maybe like an Italian or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but super cool to see Limousine and...
See Khonshu all looking all spiffy?
Yeah, he's just in the car. You know, pretty cool.
Yeah, kind of like how he was in the comic that we read. How he's just in the house.
So now, I really don't understand. Because, like, at the end of this episode...
So they're not free? Because they were, like, bartering with
him. I don't think they're free.
Yeah, they're saying, like, hey, we'll do this if you let us free.
Yeah, and then they were like, as you wish, and he goes away.
They put Amit in Harrow, and then they weren't going to kill him.
And then he was just like, I just won't kill him.
Yeah.
So, like, what does that resolve, really? Because he's just going to find a way to get her out, right?
Right.
Presumably. And then in this credit scene, it's like, has any of this really happened?
Probably.
Which make, like, probably.
So, Harrow's dead now.
Harrow's dead now. So, I guess.
And so is Amit.
Maybe.
Well, Amit was in him, and that's what they needed to do.
Did he just
kill
turn
him
crazy? And then who? Go Harrow.
What do you mean, turn crazy?
Like, he was fine. Amit gets in him. Mark Spector doesn't kill him. He walks away. Why is Harrow now in a psychiatric ward?
Maybe you know, pleaded what happened? Insanity or something.
He could have, but he actually seemed insane, right?
He seemed, yeah, unwell.
Maybe he was acting. But, like, there's just questions there, and it just, it's weird. It doesn't feel like anything really resolved that much, and, you know, there is going to be season two, it seems like. So, I don't
know. Yeah, I think it's pretty
clear. Like, I don't think any of the Marvel shows have really stuck their landing super well, but I think I've had probably, I think I like this one the most. I don't know. I probably have to sit on it a little bit. I don't know. But, like, I don't think any of them really stuck landing very well. Because with WandaVision, it's like, oh, we're two magicians in the air. We're going to shoot lasers. And then...
And two robots in the air.
Yeah. And then, like, Loki is like, we're in this crazy thing. And also the multiverse.
No,
crazy.
Loki was, like, the best show.
I
And it had the best last episode.
I didn't like that one that much. Dude, I don't even think the last episode was, like...
How is your brain just not, like, all over the walls with, like, all this, like, shit that they were explaining in, like, the last episode and just, like, the scale of
it was cool and, like, the scale of it is cool and I like the overall idea. I was going into it, like, this is going to be the best episode or the best show easily.
Yeah.
Before I knew, like, Moon Knight was going to be there. But, like, from that original slate. And, like, by the end, I was just like, okay, there's this guy that we haven't seen the whole time and he's controlling everything and now there's multiverse. Got it. So I don't know. That's just
so yeah.
Like
if
how
you
want to
summarize
about
it, then yeah. But I don't know. That for me,
it was
least.
It was cool because it's like I like.
I think I like Moon Knight.
What is he supposed to be again? Kang.
Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
So I think Moon Knight is like the most different out of all of them.
I appreciate how different it is. Yeah, it feels like a risk for Marvel, which is cool to see.
Yeah, and then being like a little bit more true to some characters and kind of getting out of like the almost the Marvel method where they all kind of have pretty similar vibes to them.
Yeah,
you know,
and they all have to have like the Falcon in it or like some random character, like,
yeah,
integrated
some
into
cameo
it.
I'm so glad there wasn't like some cameo in this.
Yeah, it felt very siloed, and I hope that if they do season two that it's also separate.
Yeah,
like ideally they do a season two, it's pretty fun, whatever, we figure out some stuff about Jake Lockley, and then from the future, like, I just hope that we randomly see Moon Knight like somewhere in a Marvel movie where, yeah, like, it makes sense for him to, like, for a bunch of superpowered people to be there.
Or he's, like,
and
on the news or something.
He's, like, confused.
Yeah, or, like, he's on the news or something.
That would be cool, too.
I think, like, because he's in, like, London primarily and he went to Egypt and stuff, just, like, when he's not involved with New York, has no reason to be there.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, he's not going to interact with them.
Which is cool. And I like that.
And there has to be a pretty fucking convincing reason for anyone else to be near him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So.
So, and we could also have other characters in other parts of the world that aren't New York and stuff to kind of expand on different parts of the universe, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think he could show up in New York and it would kind of make sense because I think Layla is from like America, right? So it's...
I think she's from Egypt.
Maybe, no, I think she was in London too, now I think about it. Because when she was getting her passport faked, she was in London at the time.
But she also like knew Egyptian and like...
She was from Egypt initially and then got banned or whatever, went to London.
Right.
Yeah, okay, so cool. Anyway, keep them separate. Or there's a really great panel of like an Avengers comic where Moon Knight's like leaning over to Spider-Man. He's like, what's going on? And Spider-Man like explains what's going on. And Moon Knight's like, what does that mean? And then Spider-Man's like, just punch whoever I punch in a second. And it's really funny. And that's how I imagine that interaction happening if he's ever in like a larger Marvel project. But
yeah, definitely.
But that's like the extent of it. So anyway, I liked it overall. I thought it was cool to see Layla. I just looked it up. That's supposed to be the Scarlet Scarab.
Scarlet Scarab. Oh, okay.
But they were definitely super loose because the Scarlet Scarab is like this black dude. So it's like, okay. But not only that, but like, it's like a Moon Knight. I don't even know if it's a Moon Knight villain, but it's like an Egyptian villain. But there's no mention of like Tawaret or anything like that. So they just kind of took a loose concept, it seems like, again.
Okay. Yeah. Why not?
But anyway, I'd watch the season two.
Because like Harrow, I thought he was a cool villain, you know? I thought his motives are cool and they kind of made sense.
I still don't know why he's walking on glass, but.
Yeah, just be real scary.
Yeah.
But anyway, they definitely could have done a lot of things that would have been lame or things that would have made us mad, you know?
Yeah.
Like having a cameo or a crossover. And just be about somebody else, you know?
I think also it worked in its favor to have six episodes.
Six episodes, I like. I think eight might be the sweet spot in my head.
Disagree. If we had eight episodes and we ended on this, I wouldn't have liked it as much, I don't think.
Right, but this could have been like stretched out maybe. Or at least like there was some fat that you could have cut. But I think it was just as far as like cutting it up into six parts is where it kind of... kind of came loose in a way, but I don't know. I guess at this episode, I was just kind of like over it. You know, I'm like, all right, let's watch it. Let's see what's done.
Yeah.
And now,
it's done.
We're so spoiled. Like tomorrow, watching Doctor Strange now.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And I'm probably going to have a great time.
And then before you know it, Kenobi's going to be here.
So speaking of, what are we going to read next week? Do we have something? You probably have something for us.
So no, I think Super Pets was supposed to come out this month, but it was delayed to July. So, yeah, nothing till Kenobi. So that's a few weeks because it's the 4th and that comes on the 27th. So we have like 2 weeks of whatever we want, basically.
Okay. You want to do a DC book? We haven't done a DC book in a while.
It has been a hot minute, Nathan, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's been since Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Jeez, I don't even remember that book.
So what's a DC book we could read, Daniel?
You know, you want to do something new, something old?
I feel like something newer.
Nathan, I have a great idea. I listened to an episode with, I think it was Sam Humphries. I'm going to be...
Love that guy.
I'm going to be embarrassed if I'm wrong. But he did a book called Dial H for Hero.
Mm-hmm.
And he described it, and it sounded really fucking cool.
I'm down for that.
You want
that
to was, just...
That's
just,
part of Brian Michael Bendis' imprint at DC.
Yeah, and...
Based off of a legacy concept, I guess, but yeah.
Based off of what I described, how it was described to me, I think you'd, like, love it.
Describe it right now, go. Because you're very good at summarizing things.
So, like, apparently it's this one artist, right? And they're going to, like, different parts of... I don't know if they're going to different universes or different times, but for some reason, this dude is doing, like, different... styles of artwork for like different things, for like different characters, I guess.
Sure.
So he's doing like inspirational stuff, so stuff that's inspired by like Todd McFarlane and other guys. And so he's doing different art styles.
Okay.
Like not like to copy, but in like as homage to other characters. So I think you can expect to see like six different art styles from this one artist.
That's sick.
So I think Dial H for Hero would be just a real fun, random one. But I think we'll have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I'm down for Dial H for Hero then.
Yeah, let's see if it's on the old
on the Unlimited. Old Unlimited.
Apparently Dial H is its own book. Oh yeah, it is Sam Humphries and Joe Quinones.
Oh, Quinones is so good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Nathan. That's what I said to you.
You did say that to me.
I told you it was good. Okay, so...
Why is the first trade $8, but the second trade's $5?
That's how they get you, Nathan.
You shitting me?
Oh, enter the Heroverse. So yeah, they go to different universes.
Hmm.
And so that's why there's different art styles.
I'm down for this.
Yeah? Want to just fucking send it, Nathan?
Yeah.
Just go for it?
I love it.
I might check to see if there's like a copy for a new comic book day, Nathan. This will be...
Dude.
Are you stoked?
I'm stoked. I'm going... I'm like traveling 2 hours for a wedding, but I'm making sure I'm going to a comic shop first before I leave.
When do you when do you need to be? Are you going to Sedona?
Sedona, yeah.
Who's getting married?
Matthew.
He's coming back here for a wedding?
Yeah, yeah.
Is his family here or something?
Probably.
That's cool. When is the wedding?
Saturday.
Saturday night, right?
3:30.
Oh, when do you need to be there?
3:30.
Dude, that's a, you have, it's like an hour and a half drive. You have it's plenty 2 hours.
But I'm going to the comic shop first before I even go up there. So yeah, that's how dedicated I am. John Lehman's going to be at Samurai Comics in Phoenix.
Oh, that was that far.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to go there first.
That'd be cool to see John.
Yeah, yeah. So
let me know when you're going. I might swing that.
Probably like
morning or
10 or 11.
Okay. Yeah, I can just
look. If you want me to do 10, I can make that work too, but that we'll figure out.
Yeah, just let me know.
So yeah, Dial H for Hero next week. This is DC book. Everybody loves that series. Everybody knows about it.
Wonder Comics. Let's do it.
Wonder Comics.
All right. That's the episode, isn't it, Nathan?
Yeah, it sure is. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for following us. If you do that either on the podcast app that you use to listen to us or via our social stuff, we are on Twitter at TradeWaitersPod. Both of us are also on Twitter individually, but you could find that at our TradeWaitersPod. You can email us, tell us what to read. If you got a DC book that you like or any other book, tradewaiterspod@gmail.com, and we'll read it.
Yeah, man. Did you say all the things? I wasn't listening.
And we're on TikTok too, at TradeWaitersPod.
Okay,
at TradeWaiters.
At TradeWaiters.
At TradeWaiters.
All right. That's bye. It. Thanks, guys.
Peace.